Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God, we pray for America. We pray for the freedom of the January Sixers, Lord God. Raise up an army of brave, kingdom-minded men to take back this America that we know and love, the land of freedom and opportunity, of constitutional rule of law, Lord God, of sanity, Lord God, and modesty and humility and excellence and championship, Lord God, the things that make us American, Lord God, the freedom that we once all enjoyed to go to church, to worship you, Lord Jesus. Bring it back to America. Make this land the land of your opportunity, your grace, and your mercy again. Bring Donald Trump successfully back to the White House and free us from the chains that bind us. We need you, Jesus Christ. We love you, God. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Well, that's the voice of Jacob Lane, who's been incarcerated for 4 years in January. It is January. Four years. He's not even 30 years old yet. That was the voice of him from prison. He was on his knees at his bunk bed praying. And before he went down on his knees to pray, this is what he wrote. Last night at 10:30 p.m. while we were live on our J6 Patriot panel, my cell was raided, and I was tackled and arm twisted violently against the wall by the Brooklyn Federal Prison Correction Officers. They treated me like an animal and called me a domestic terrorist. I was stripped naked and searched in my cavities and forced to stand half naked around a half dozen prison guards. I have been incarcerated as a Democrat hostage for 1,353 days without a trial, shifted from prison to maximum security penitentiary over 15 times in a torture psychological warfare technique called diesel therapy, inflicted on pretrial detainees and the feds to try to get them to break mentally and be unmoored and subject to ever-changing prison environments. But all of these evils that we have suffered have been only a platform for God's strength and grace to shine forth in the J6ers. We have prayed our way through many valleys and conquered every storm the two-tiered injustice system has sent our way. Because we are strong? No, because we hid our hearts in the Lord Jesus Christ. The fire hasn't even singed the hairs of our heads. The Lord is mighty in battle and a strong tower for those in peril. You can't tell me that God isn't able to save, because I have been delivered from every destruction the devil has thrown my way. Today, I head off to solitary confinement until my November 4th trial in Washington, D.C., where I will face 13 fabricated charges, simply for standing up against the Biden Marxist coup d'etat on January the 6th of 2021. Fear does not live in the heart of a patriot. Never surrender. Edward Jacob Lang, political prisoner, number 764-80054. Well, today we're going to talk to Jacob because he's in the D.C. gulag now, and we're talking to him from prison. It's a fascinating discussion that you won't want to miss. All right, sit back and relax and enjoy this wonderful story, really, of redemption and a hope and a future. All of those things. Our conversation with Jacob Lane from the D.C. gulag on today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.
From American Family Radio, Sandy Rios.
We are not called to be nice. We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
I think the most important thing we need to demonstrate to our children is genuineness, that we actually believe what we say we believe.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
Seek justice. Not social justice, but God's justice. What's right and what's wrong.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
We've got to say this is the line. Life is sacred.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up. Speak up. Say something. Do something.
A real frontline patriot brings you his one-of-a-kind perspective on freedom versus tyranny. This is the world premiere of the Political Prisoner Podcast, powered by Gateway Pundit. Now, live from solitary confinement, here's your host, January Sixer, Jake Lang.
All right, Sandy Rios with you. And actually, I don't think that on January the 16th of 2021, our next guest, the host of the Political Prisoner Podcast, would have ever considered that he would be doing something like that. And he joins us from the D.C. gulag this morning, Jacob Lang. Jake, thank you for joining us, and good morning.
Good morning, Sandy. God bless you. That was a nice little surprise on the almost coming up on the fourth-year anniversary here of January 6th, and I'm still incarcerated 4 years later without a trial.
Yes, I know, and I have trouble keeping track of your age. Are you 31 now?
I'm going to be 30 in April, and I was 25 on January 6th, so if I turn 30 in April, that'll be my fifth birthday in prison, but by God's grace, his strong arm is going to deliver us here in just 17 days when Donald Trump is inaugurated. I believe that his right hand is going to be on the Bible and his left hand is going to be signing pardons.
That's what I pray for too, Jacob. I really do pray for that. Let's get practical right away because I want to talk to you, of course, about what's happening there and just all the things that we have to discuss. But there is a press conference that you are kind of convening on Monday in Washington, D.C. It's the official January 6th pardon press conference. And the sidebar is No Man Left Behind. Jacob, you want to tell my guests, because some of them are near D.C. and they might want to go. I suppose it's a press conference, so who would want to come? Would the regular public want to come to this, or is it just press?
No, we have plenty of regular public, family members, supporters, and whatnot coming. The details of the event, and it's going to be a phenomenal event. I think that it's going to be, it's really historical because it's the first time where the community at large, the January 6th family members, like my mom is going to be there, and January 6th advocates and investigators and reporters and attorneys and influencers are all going to be in one place answering questions and speaking out on the truth of January 6th. Basically, think of it this way. It's the antithesis of the J6 Select Committee sham that the Democrats ran to try to destroy us. This is a truth conference where the truth is going to reign supreme. And you know, I would love for everybody to come. Here's the details, guys. It's on Monday, January 6th, this upcoming Monday, right, you know, just a couple days away, at the Hyatt Regency on Capitol Hill, the Grand Ballroom. As soon as you walk in the Regency, you'll see us going to town there. And that starts at 10 a.m. There's also a live stream starting at 10 a.m. Eastern on the Gateway Pundit. So if you guys go to the Gateway Pundit's X channel or the Rumble channel, you guys can watch a live stream. But if you want to come in person, we have plenty of tickets still left, and you can register for the event at j6pardonpanel.com. That's j6pardonpanel.com. And we've got a stellar group of speakers, including our very own Sandy Rios here.
Oh, thank you, Jake. Yeah, I'm so happy to be included. I really am, because this has been in my bloodstream for the last 4 years, even though I haven't been incarcerated with you, Jake. But I appreciate you asking me. So tell us who, you know, tell people who's going to be there.
Of course. So we've got some digital heroes, and we've got a lot of people coming in person. We have Wayne Allen Root's going to be speaking, one of my closest friends and a fellow patriotic host. We have Mike Lindell, who's zooming in, and Laura Logan. We've got Matt Wallace, who has like 2.3 million followers on his Twitter page. He's a conservative super influencer on X. We have Ann Vandersteel, investigative journalist. We have Kara Castronova, the lead J6 reporter for the Gateway Pundit, Ivan Raiklin. If you guys don't know who Ivan Raiklin is, he is one of the most knowledgeable people on the inner workings of the D.C. swamp. And on January 6th, he will be there live and in person. Professor David Clement, my attorney, and also, I mean, you know, world-renowned. He was former law professor at UC Berkeley and was kicked out of UC Berkeley because he wouldn't go woke with them. And he also produced the documentary Let My People Go about January 6th and the stolen 2020 election that was award-winning. We've got a lot of Jan Sixers coming to speak. My brother, Brandon Fellows, who did over 2.5 years in the D.C. gulag on a misdemeanor charge. You can't even imagine the tyranny in this country. We've got Trentis Evans, who is the founder of Condemned USA, another Jan 6 defendant. and persecuted patriot. Daniel Goodwin, one of the founders of StopHate.com, another G6 persecuted patriot. We've got billionaire founder of Overstock.com, Patrick Byrne, will be calling. We have former litigator and ex-super influencer Viva Free. If you guys watch Viva Free's stuff, the very smart guy with the curly hair. And we've got another Jan Sixer who herself is a super ex-influencer and a G6 persecuted patriot, Isabella Maria DeLuca. And the list goes on and on, guys. I've got my other attorney, Stephen Metcalf, my mother, Sari Lang, Joel Altman from Conservative Daily, Pete Santilli. Everyone knows Pete Santilli. He was a persecuted patriot from Bundy Ranch, did over 600 days as a political prisoner. Coy Griffin, the founder of Cowboys for Trump. And, you know, I could go on and on. It's not that many more people, but still a lot of great people in our lineup. And it's going to be hosted by Jeff Cruer from Real America's Voice TV. He's going to be our MC. So definitely something.
That's cool.
And how could I forget Jim Hoff?
Yes, you can.
As well, too.
You cannot forget Jim Hoff. And you know, I have to say, Jake, a lot of these names are familiar to my listeners because they've been a lot of people that you've listed are on our show. Lara Logan, I don't know if you mentioned Lara. Maybe you did. But anyway, I'm a fan of hers for sure, and she's going to be coming. Diamond and Silk, other people like that. Coy Griffith is the cowboy that got arrested and so horribly treated on J6. So this is going to be a really wonderful event. And I think, let me repeat the details, it's going to happen Monday in Washington, D.C. from 10 to 4 at the Hyatt Regency on Capitol Hill. And there's a grand ballroom. It's beautiful. There are lots of seats. And for those of you close to D.C., I'll be there. I would love to see you. It would be great to see you and have you meet these great people because they've been involved in something that's been icky to most of the country. So for some of us, we didn't care about the icky factor. We just wanted to talk about the truth. And so we've been doing that for 4 years. And these guys are, besides the guys in the jail, all the I don't know, just like Jim Hoff, stepping out on Gateway Pundit with the courage to cover and defend. These guys cover their circumstances before it was popular. Now I think it's a little more popular, and I thank God for that. But this is going to be a great gathering of people, and we would just love to see you. And if you'd like to reserve a space, go to j6pardonpanel.com, j6pardonpanel.com. Jake, people are wondering now, all right, so now you're in jail, right? So how in the world are you, Jake Lane, doing all? How are you organizing this? How is that possible?
We serve a God who opens doors that no man can open, and he closes doors no man can close either. And you know, God has enabled me, he surrounded me with an amazing group of patriots and volunteers and Christian brothers and sisters. And, you know, I've been able to just organize and manifest, I think, impossible things from a prison cell. Just like the little intro you just played when we first started our conversation, I run a podcast from my prison cell and been so blessed to have on amazing guests like Dinesh D'Souza and Laura Logan and Mike Lindell and other great patriots and stuff. And we do so much fundraising for the community. And we have a new fundraiser, actually, that we're launching. It's going to be part of this event because literally, honestly, in 17 days, there's going to be hundreds of prisoners pouring out of prisons across America. And most of them are destitute for money. Their homes have been, you know, bankrupt and mortgaged and sold off. Cars repossessed, family businesses, generational family businesses, Sandy, have gone under, tanked. And these men are emerging after 4 years with nothing. So we're starting the January 6th Life Rebuilding Project. And if you guys want to help us out and support the Jan Sixers coming home, give them some new clothes, some groceries. A lot of them don't have a house anymore, and they're coming home to nothing. First month's rent, a cell phone, stuff like that, basic necessities to get them reacclimated and resettled into society. Go to j6rebuild.com to help, you know, make a donation and help the Jan Sixers. I've got a list of at least 50 guys that have nothing, and we're trying to get at least about $2,000 together for each one of those guys for first month's rent, for a cell phone, for basic necessities. And so we're at a $100,000 goal that we need to reach in the next 17 days to make sure that, because this is a reality. I'm not sure if you guys know this in the audience. a lot of people who leave federal prison, they get on a bus and go to the nearest homeless shelter. And I would be so distraught, broken in my spirit, if we allowed any of these brave J6 heroes who have suffered for 4 years under cruel, unusual punishment, inhumane conditions, the two-tiered persecution, all that we've been through, if any of my brothers left and were in a homeless, destitute situation. So, guys, please go to J6Rebuild.com. We just launched a new video on that Gives and Go site there just last night, and it's a very compelling video. I'd love for you guys to watch it. But all of this stuff, Sandy, happens because God's favor is stronger than the enemy's, you know, greatest stranglehold. His favor opened up a door for me to lead and to organize, and I took it, and I've been so blessed and really having a lot of successful ventures to, you know, promote and help out the J6ers while I've been incarcerated, like the J6 Life Rebuilding Project. It's going to be a big success because God's grace is with us.
Jake, favors us. You are no doubt an incredible entrepreneur. You really are. You're just amazing.
You have
one minute.
Okay.
Well, we'll take this 1 minute, and then we're going to talk to – he's going to call back. So you have such gifts as an entrepreneur. And we've had a lot of these conversations before, Jake. We've talked many times. It's been my privilege to talk to you from other jails. And when we come back after your little break and having to call us, let's talk about your past and who you were and who you want to be. I'd also like to know how you met Jesus in the midst of all of this, because you certainly did, and how your faith has grown. That would be something very interesting to me and my audience. So so I think she's going to cut us off in just a second.
I've got a testimony, Sandy, that's going to rock your audience's world, because I don't come from, you know, a little hokey-pokey background. I came from the big city, New York City, and I did a lot of crazy stuff. And so I got a lot to tell about how Jesus saved me from that cesspool. God bless America. I'll be right back, Sandy. Thank you.
Okay, Jake. We are in mid-conversation with Jake Lang, who was actually in the D.C. gulag. Jake has been moved around the country to several different prisons, and we can talk about that with him. And now he's been transferred back to D.C., which is the most notorious prison, at least it has been for most of us. But before we talk to Jake again, because he's on the line, I want you to hear what, your attorney general had to say about all of this, just about 3 years ago. Let's listen.
Tomorrow will mark the first anniversary of January 6, 2021. Those involved must be held accountable, and there is no higher priority for us at the Department of Justice.
Thank you, Attorney General Merrick Garland. And that's true. They've been so busy arresting J6ers that they forgot about the jihadis. They just forgot, because it's a white domestic terrorist like the J6ers, you know, fingers in quotes, that they've been concentrating on. They have actually arrested 1,500, and they've made it their goal. I think last year they had a goal of arresting 3,000 more. They've been just arresting and arresting. They have a whole brigade of citizens combing through Facebook and social media to report their neighbors and friends if they happen to be there and somebody missed that. So that's how dreadful it has become. Jake, I just mentioned that you're back in the D.C. gulag. That's where you started, right?
Yeah, that's where the journey, almost started. I started in New York. I was arrested at my house in upstate New York, outside New York City. And I was carted around from prison to prison up there. And then they flew me out to Oklahoma. And then they flew me to Virginia. And then they took me to D.C. gulag with a good old-fashioned diesel therapy, where you don't sleep for days on end. You have like a bologna sandwich once every 12 hours, and it's just torture. And so I've been moved actually 17 times since I've been incarcerated these last 4 years. And it's a very purposeful thing they do, because when you're preparing for your case and your trial, you start to amass legal documents and discovery, and the laptop to view your discovery, which is the video evidence that you're trying to sift through to find, you know, stuff that will help exonerate you and, you know, to combat the lies that they have against you. And so every time you move, they take all that stuff. You lose all your legal documents, all your contacts, everything. You basically get transferred half naked in the middle of the night. And then the lawyer doesn't know where you're at. Your family doesn't know where you're at. Very stressful, right? People have disappeared for 3-4 weeks at a time before, just poof, gone into thin air. Like the book 1984, Unperson. No, I wasn't able to call my family, write a letter, talk to my attorney. And so, you know, this is just one of the small things. And I call that small. To the listening audience, that would be something big, but in the face of 900 days of solitary confinement, which I have done since I've been incarcerated, these 1,440 days I've been behind bars as a pretrial detainee, as a hostage of the Joe Biden regime and Merrick Garland and Christopher Wray and all of these deep state puppets, that, you know, the diesel therapy is not really the hardest thing. The years of solitary confinement, being estranged from my family, over 18 months without a shave or a haircut, without religious services. But this is where God's grace shines through again. We've had to devise our own Bible studies and our own baptisms and church services. And just last week, I was able, by God's awe, his loving arm and mercy just reaches out in the name of Jesus. I baptized 4 young men into the body of Christ in one day here in the D.C. Gulag. There is a revival going on, Sandy. I just want to tell your audience that there is a revival going on in the Gulag right now.
Well, I actually wanted to ask you that because when I started covering this, I talked to more than one inmate from the cell, from the jail, and was really tracking all the horrible things that were happening to you guys. It was just so dreadful because there was nothing any of us could do. Even some of my congressmen, the congressman that actually took, you know, time to do anything, like Louie Gohmert, and I think it was Marjorie Taylor Greene and some others who went over and tried. They couldn't even get inside to see you. I will never forget that, Jake. But my question is, there was a core. It was Sean Jenkins and others. There was a core of people that had sort of band together back when this, within the first year, in the D.C. Gulag, and believers who did exactly what you're talking about. And to this day, are singing the national anthem, and I'm not sure about the prayer, every night, I think it's 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. All right, so that's my little bit of knowledge. You're living it. So tell me what, you know, is there... How many people are still there incarcerated? And is there a bond between you guys yet, or have they managed to break that because of the multiple transfers?
Well, so right now, I'm currently in general population. When I got brought back to D.C. jail about 3-4 months ago, they officially de-recognized the January 6ers. So they place us wherever they want in the jail now. I have about 10 to 15 of my J6 brothers over at the D.C. jail side of things, which is called the Central Detention Facility, and that's the notorious D.C. jail where people are raped and killed, you know, every single day. God forbid there's not killings every single day, but at least once or twice a year, somebody is taken out in an ambulance from a stabbing wound, and they don't come back, God forbid. And so we were taken out of that part of the facility early in 2021 and put in the central treatment facility, which is like their place where, you know, they do the GED programs and drug treatment programs and stuff like that. And we had our whole own unit called the J6 Patriot Pod, where at 9 p.m. Eastern Time, every single night, we sung the national anthem and we prayed together. And my friend Shane Jenkins and I and many other Christian brothers would join our arms in prayer every night. Sometimes we'd have 35, 40 guys praying in the name of Jesus in a broken scenario, men coming from, you know, all of our families being broken and distraught, destructive, decimation financially and spiritually. We decided to pick ourselves up in the grace of God and really be uplifted by His Spirit. I mean, it takes a certain measure. You know, they call it a faith walk for a reason, because, you know, you have to lean upon God, but you also have to walk it yourself. It's an action. God did not create robots. He created men that also have to walk with Him. And so we decided, instead of just, you know, leaning on our crutches and crying in ourselves, to get up and to walk with God and to allow Him to serve His purposes in our life. And it's been a blessing, because we've seen men who, you know, really didn't know the Lord, even Jan 6 brothers of ours, come to God in amazing ways and have their faith just being, you know, restored. Even in the midst of the valley of the shadow here that we're in, faith has rised up and been, you know, our kind of our rallying cry is that if God is with us, who could be against us? And we've leaned in on that and prayed hundreds and even thousands of prayers together and done Bible studies tucked in secluded corners of the prison. And, you know, right now I'm in general population. I only have one Jan 6 brother with me here, but he was just baptized last week by my hands and by God's grace. And so we're fighting back. We're fighting back the only way we know how, through prayer.
Well, there's a lot of, criticism by some law enforcement and other people who are pretty cynical about jailhouse conversions, Jake. So, but you now have been incarcerated for 4 years, and I'm sure there have been very low points for you, as cheerful as you always are. I know the last time I actually had contact with you, they had transferred you to a terrible place, I believe in upstate New York, and you were fearing for your life. So you make it sound, you say some bad things, but you sound so cheerful, maybe people don't really understand how horrible this has been. But so in regard to, let's just talk about your conversion. You started that. You lived in New York. You were, I think, as I recall, you told me your father's affluent. And I don't know what you were doing when you were 25. What were you doing, Jake? Were you using your creative abilities then, or were you getting in trouble? I don't know what you were doing.
I was a loose cannon. At age 18, I moved to New York City from upstate New York to wrestle at Hunter College. And the entrepreneurial bug bit me, and the nightlife bug bit me at the same time. My father's an entrepreneur. He's a very sturdy and stable Christian man, a military background, and no-nonsense conservative, but he's a hard-working entrepreneur, and I wanted to follow in his footsteps. College was not for me. I did a year at Hunter College, and I said, Dad, I'm starting my own business. I'm dropping out. I'm taking New York City by the horns, and I'm going to, you know, take a run at it for what all it's worth. And I had a couple breakout businesses in e-commerce. After selling hats on the street with my first company called Harlem Pusher, I lived in Harlem at that time on 106 in Lexington, and I would take a little cart full of hats that said the word Pusher on them, and that was kind of my motto. I'm the Pusher. I'm the one who gets it done. I don't stop until I reach the goal. And, you know, I had a double entendre, obviously, because, you know, being a Pusher, being a Harlem Pusher meant, you know, something else too, but I wasn't doing that. But, you know, I would go outside the subway station on 116th in Lexington, which is a very eclectic and very, you know, it's all minorities there, all Spanish and black people, and it is lively there. The energy and the atmosphere just made me fall in love with New York City. People, you know, going left and right, tens of thousands of people on the streets there. When the subways are let out and people flood and come out, I'm selling my hats, I'm screaming, I'm doing my thing. And so I fell in love with New York City. I fell in love with being an entrepreneur. I found my first big successes in e-commerce, selling products online. I had a breakout multi-million-dollar business when I was 20 years old, selling hoverboards, which are the little things. Remember that years ago, you'd stand on them, right? And then... the little wheels, they would automatically go back and forth, and then you'd always end up falling and busting your butt. And they were hilarious. And once you got good at them, you could really go fast and travel. But the videos you guys have probably seen in the audience are people around their Christmas tree breaking their, you know, their tailbones, falling on the ground. They were a big gift back in, you know, 2014.
Yeah, I remember that.
2016 time. So I had a big, they were big for me. And at that same time, I decided I wanted to become a club promoter, which was one of the worst decisions of my life, but it's a formative. You know, you can always regret your scars, right, that bring you to Jesus, but you shouldn't, because these are some things that form you into the broken character, the sinful character that needs that. It's a paradox, as God works in paradox. Unfortunately, most of the time we need to fall on our knees to look up to heaven, and the brokenness is what leads us to Christ. And so, you know, the brokenness of diving headfirst into the nightlife community in New York City and becoming a prolific club promoter, and, you know, I had money and I had, you know, the charisma and all that stuff worked together for the devil's good for a little while to just make me a 24/7, you know, womanizer and, you know, alcohol.
You have 1 minute remaining.
that's what you are when you're a club promoter. You're paid to drink and to be there and to, you know, court the women and all that stuff. But after many years of that, 7 years, COVID hit New York City, and I found myself just a man stuck with all these sinful addictions and looking for depth and clarity and purpose in my life. And God sent a woman into my life who knew Jesus, and I started reading the Bible, and slowly, after a painful year of COVID, the veil was lifted from my eyes, and I knew that God had a bigger purpose for me than this nightlife and even the business world could ever offer me. And I was baptized and born again just 2 months before January 6th. And wow, it's been the deliverance of my lifetime to see the folly that I was living in and how much deeper he wanted to take me into his spirit. And he called me deeper, and January 6th happened, boom, and I was my faith.
Thank you for using Global Tellink.
Okay. We'll be back with Jake in just a second to hear the rest of that story. So stay tuned. Sandy Rios on Sandy Rios 24/7. Hi, this is Sandy Rios. A lot of Christians would be shocked to learn they are personally profiting from abortion and pornography. It's unnerving to realize just how many companies and corporations are actively involved in unbiblical practices. To help cut through the red tape, there is a great option known as Timothy Plan. Timothy Plan is the pioneer in biblically responsible investing. Timothy Plan carefully filters out companies involved in practices Scripture tells us to avoid. We are in an all-out culture war. One powerful way to make a difference is to put our money where our values are. Please go to timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-846-7526. Discover how to be a biblically responsible investor.
Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing.
This is Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
Some of you are, you know, you have more finances than others. We're not all the same. Some of you are struggling, but others of you still have good resources. And if you have those kinds of resources, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, and that would reach 200 babies and their moms. To donate, just go to preborn.com/Sandy. That's preborn.com/Sandy.
The Sandy Rios 24/7 podcast are available at AFR.net. Back to Sandy Rios 24/7 on American Family Radio.
All right, Jake has taken his nap and now he's back. The operator won't let him talk except in little increments. And so he's talking to us live from the D.C. Gulag, which is right downtown in Washington, D.C. And certainly I've talked enough about it, and Jake has put some flesh on what's happening there now. But Jake is in the middle of telling us about his own conversion, which I had forgotten, Jake, took place, what, 2 months or 2 weeks before J6? 2 months, I think. You were baptized. You met a girl who was a Christian. You were in the nightlife in New York City and very successful entrepreneur then. And so I just would say, before you even say anything further, Jake, this is how God works. I've experienced it and I've seen it. When we sell out to him, he takes us not to a place of success, but a place of suffering, and sometimes leaves us there a long time because he knows who he can use. And I think you're one of those people. So, and you have so many gifts that interfere sometimes with your humility and also with your usefulness to him. So he's spent 4 years shaking that out of you. But tell us more. I mean, you got arrested, and then you've been incarcerated and pretrial detention. Have you ever gone to trial?
I have not gone to trial, Sandy. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm the most humble person you'll ever meet. Oh, wait, that's an oxymoron. No, I'm kidding. there are many struggles in our Christian walk. And, you know, even Jacob, my namesake, when God changed his name to Israel, right, he still had his craftiness about him, and he set up the sheep to stare at the broken reeds so that they would come out more of them spotted than they would come out white, so that he would have more sheep than his uncle Laban for his deal that he set up. So sometimes God uses our personality and our characteristic traits, but he saves them in the power of resurrection power and
totally.
Uses them to glorify his name. And I believe that that's the place he's placed me right now in the January 6th incredible persecution, this witch hunt. He, said, I've got all these amazing, you got former military members, carpenters, roofers, special operators, Army Rangers, and a lot of guys that are just red-blooded, tried and true patriots and great citizens of this country. And he said, I need a place, just a couple city slickers in there that know what they're doing with social media and building websites and stuff so that we have, a full, well-rounded community. And he threw me in this mix with all these guys that, I look up to these men. They're the greatest men I ever met in my life. I mean, we got this one guy, Matthew Kroll, one of my brothers in Christ. He's a missionary, and he spent years in Pakistan and India working with the sick children there and showing them the love of Christ and stuff. I mean, you have people from every walk of life. You got club promoters to missionaries to successful businessmen, and all of us have learned to live together and love one another, and I've learned from them. They've been my mentors, my brothers, my friends. I'm one of the youngest ones. Like I said, on January 6th, I was 25. I've had 4 birthdays in the gulag already. And if Trump doesn't save us immediately, I'll have my 5th here coming up in April. But I believe God's moving his heart, as the Bible tells us, he turns the hearts of the rulers like water through a canal. And so God's hand is on Trump's heart, maneuvering and turning and shifting it to favor the Jan Sixers and to show us mercy on day one. But
I believe that's true too.
I'm just grateful that God's let me use my gifts here in this movement to help for my Jan Six brothers.
Jacob, you're living proof of what God does. I mean, we see it in scripture, and you know that because now you've been reading scripture a lot. That's exactly, God works through his people like that. He doesn't mold us into some personalityless a person without our gifts. He brings our gifts and brings them under subjection and uses them for his glory if we subject ourselves to him, which is what you have done. And so now, what do you think you'd like to do when you get out? We'll say when you get out, Jake. What do you see as your future life?
Oh, I will get out. It just depends. It could be 17 days or 17 years because my prosecutors are vicious. They are George Soros prosecutors coming for blood. They're looking to give me similar time to like what they gave my brother David Dempsey. David Dempsey's not affiliated with any group. He's not a Proud Boy. He's not an Oath Keeper. Those are great groups. I love those guys. And you know how heavy-handed they treated people like Enrique Tarrio, 22 years. But David Dempsey was just a single man on January 6th, shoulder to shoulder to me inside the tunnel, the famous West Terrace tunnel where the police trapped us and murdered Roseanne Boylan. He was shoulder to shoulder with me, defending our country, defending innocent, unarmed women and elderly people. And they gave that man 20 years. For his actions on January 6th, his heroic and patriotic actions. And I'm right in that same category as far as what they want for me. And so my life really is, I'm not kidding, it's either the next 17 days in prison or the next 17 years. And when God delivers us by his strong arm, remember the story in the Bible about, to whom much is forgiven, so much more are they loved. And the more mercy, right? When God shows you a great deliverance act of mercy and love, it's like you owe him your life. And so I've made solemn promises to God that as he continues, and I have that but if faith too, that the three Hebrew boys did, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that even if our God decides not to deliver us, he's still our God, and we will not forsake him. But I've made solemn promises to God that when he lifts and breaks these chains of oppression off us, that my life is given over to him as a servant of his son, Jesus Christ. I will go where he tells me to go and do what he tells me to do. And I want to live a life of divine service to our Lord, as I've been trying to do in prison, I'm going to continue to do on the outside. And so that's where I'm headed, where God takes me to. And, you know, we can't complain, to add some measure to that. We can't complain as Christian men in this country and Christian women, but I'm talking to the men here because, you know, the male leadership of our country and of the church and whatnot is, the women have taken up all the loose slack. They're like all the prayer warriors today, or the women and the people showing up at the abortion rallies and getting arrested. You know, there's a lack of male leadership, which is where God would have us be. And, you know, talking to the men, we can't complain as men about the state of our country and the state of affairs of the schools and the marriages and the institutions if we're not willing to stand up and get involved and change them. So, you know, I believe that God is calling me into some political realm, because that's, I mean, how could you not, as a January 6th political prisoner, see the disastrous effects of the liberal, communist, Marxist, satanic ideology and what it can do to a human being and put me through 4 years of political torture and not want to stand up and change it. I mean, it's just, it's a natural, you know, reaction. It's a spiritual reaction. So if God calls me deeper into politics and deeper into the church, I'm not going to argue with him. I'm going to serve wherever he calls me.
That's a good answer, Jake. I like that answer. Now, let me ask you another question, because I don't think I've ever asked you this. You know, most prisoners, I would probably say all of them, have been, at least an attempt has been made to coerce them into taking a plea deal. And many have done that, and I'm not criticizing them for that, but that meant for many they had to admit to things that they didn't really believe. Have they tried to coerce you to take a plea deal?
Of course. I mean, I was offered, when I was first arrested, if I go and testify against Donald Trump at his second impeachment hearing, it's crazy you have to even say that, but the January 6th impeachment, then I would be given, basically, go home that same day and given time served. And so, you know, from there, every single time, I've been superseded on my indictment, I think, 3 or 4 times now. And so they said, you know, first time it was like 5 to 6 years. If you take a plea deal right now, we'll give you 5 to 6 years. Then they came around with 8 to 9 years. And then they came around with 10 years because they kept on recharging me with more crimes. And then now I don't have an offer or anything, but they coerce you saying either you're going to do 20 years in prison or you can take 5 years right now. And so many of my Jan 6 brothers who have young kids at home are looking at their, you know, their 3-year-old son and saying, well, either I can come home when he's, you know, 7, 8 years old, or I can come home when he's 25 years old. And that's just an impossibility for the love of a father most of the time. They're going to choose their family over their pride and over their moral stance and most of the time. And, you know, everybody has their own decisions to make. You know, I believe that those who have held out and refused a plea deal under any circumstance, under any scenario, and refuse to capitulate are truly a special breed of patriot, and my heart goes out to their families because they've had to make those tough decisions and call home and tell their wife and kids, you know, daddy may be gone for a while because he's refusing to bend knee to the tyrants. And, you know, it's like going off to war. Sometimes you just don't come home when you stand up against tyranny. The ultimate sacrifice, sometimes it has to be made. And, you know, whether that's on the battlefield or, you know, rotting away in a gulag, my heart goes out to my brothers who have stood firm and refused to relent in the face of evil. And, you know, I love them so much. And I love all my Jan 6 brothers. Like I said, everyone has to make their own decisions. And many of them have made valid decisions based upon, you know, prayer. And saying, you know, God didn't want me to just sacrifice my life because he knows that he's gonna work it all out in the end anyway. And so these guys have been home for a couple years now, tending to their families, and they're gonna get pardoned when they never should have been incarcerated in the first place. So hats off to all Jan 6ers. If you showed up at the Capitol to defend our country from a communist coup d'état happening with Joe Biden's installment as a president by Beijing and all the other New World Order, One World Government regimes that wanted Joe Biden to run us into the ground. If you showed up at the Capitol, you're my brother, and I love you forever.
You know, Jake, before you were ever born, a long time before you were ever born, there was a Jesus revolution that took place among the hippies, who were, you know, drug-infested, long hair, not bathing. They were like the dredge of society, for civilized society. And a great move of God came through that group. And you know what? They made such an impact on this country. Most people don't know that, but many of them went into politics, business, and music. And they made their mark in so many ways. They had a tremendous effect on the country. And I believe that's going to be your future, too, and those J6ers, those that were able to hold steady and keep their wits about them and to, you know, really learn to honor God while they were incarcerated, they're going to have tremendous impact in ways you can't even imagine. So, all right, well, I want to say one more time, I want to repeat, the press conference is on Monday. It's going to be at the Hyatt Regency on Capitol Hill from 10 to 4. It's a nice, comfortable setting, so you can come and, you know, just sit and enjoy yourself. It's not going to be uncomfortable. It's go to j6pardonpanel.com to make your sign up and register. So we don't need
1 minute remaining.
I'll finish that after that, but Jake, I'm going to give you the last 45 seconds here to just say what you want to say.
Well, I just want to thank you, Sandy, and all your listeners and the patriots across this country who have remained in prayer for us, who have refused to give up hope. Your guys, like Engine, has been driving this car of the Jan 6 movement. You know, our families and all the people out there, they see I've received thousands of letters since I've been incarcerated. They see the support system that is built around us, and we've remained incredibly hopeful because of your guys' prayers and love and sacrifice and donations. So thank you, guys. It's been 4 years. We couldn't have done it without you. We're culminating this mess, and I'd love to see you guys at the J6 Pardon Press Conference if you can make it. Follow me on Twitter. That's where I'm most active, on my X account, at Jake Lang, J6. And keep praying, because we need this mountain.
Thank you for using Global Tellink.
All right. Well, that's the way it ended. And just pray. In fact, I'm going to pray right now. Father, as Jake hung up just now and had, or was cut off, I just pray that you would help him to feel your presence. Sometimes when you have these outbursts of joy and you're sharing your faith, then the enemy comes. And I pray that you would protect him, Father. Protect him and continue to give him courage and strength and hope. And Father, I do pray that you would motivate President Trump to do what he said he's going to do, and that is to pardon these men and some women. Father, they paid such a high price, and they're not all perfect people. Gee whiz, neither are we. And yet, Lord, I know that you show mercy, and we ask for mercy for all of those who have paid this terrible price for being there at the Capitol on January the 6th. We intercede for them in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, I want to just finish what I was saying before Jake got cut off, because I want to make sure you have the information about the press conference on Monday. Again, it's at the Hyatt Regency on Capitol Hill from 10 to 4. For those of you who are near D.C., for those of you who are not, you can watch it at Gateway Pundit on their Rumble channel. So you can watch the whole thing. It's going to be a lot of information. It's not going to be a staged press conference like so many are. Trust me, I've been to a million of them. But it will be people talking about their experiences. I'm going to be talking about my perspective. And, it will just be a few minutes for each person. But there will be some fascinating people there, many of you whom you have heard on this show. And so Gateway Pundit on the Rumble channel, or if you want to be present in person, go to j6pardonpanel.com, j6pardonpanel.com, and make a reservation, because they need to know who's coming for the reasons, all the reasons that you can imagine. 10 to 4 this coming Monday, that's the fourth anniversary of January the 6th, the fourth anniversary of January 6th, and again, go to j6pardonpanel.com. Well, I'd like to thank our sponsor, Timothy Plan, as we say goodbye here, where you put your money where your values are and discover how to be a biblically responsible investor. Visit timothyplan.com/Sandy. That's timothyplan.com/Sandy. Or call 1-800-TIM-PLAN. That's 1-800-TIM-PLAN. Well, thank you for listening to today's edition of Sandy Rios 24/7.